This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, there's breaking news with WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I. All Elite Wrestling is officially on TNT. That's right. The Tony Khan-backed new wrestling promotion will air live weekly in prime time on the former home of WCW Monday Nitro. AEW broadcaster Alex Marvez joins us to discuss all the details. Plus, the Firefly Funhouse is one of the most interesting things going on in the WWE right now. We speak to the man who worked directly with Bray Wyatt and directed the segments, Jason Baker. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. He's the creature maker. Jason Baker joins us here on Busted Open. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Good, man. How's it going?
Good to have you, dude. And here's the thing. Started off right off the bat. I mean, you've been creating quite a stir in wrestling circles lately.
Yeah, man. Kind of. When we got into this and I got the call from Bray, I didn't really realize we were going to be this much of an impact. So it's been kind of crazy. It's been fun.
Jason, real quick, if you were going to make a mask for Dave LaGreca, what would it look like?
He doesn't even know me.
Man, I mean, that's something we got to talk to Dave about. It's kind of whatever he wants.
Before I get, I'm going to leave that up to the nation. You know what would a Dave LaGreca mask look like?
What about a Bully Ray mask? How about that?
Don't you already have those?
I like my... Yeah, we already got those. You wore one at the Hall of Fame, loser.
That's right. Sorry, Jason.
So, Jason, let me ask you. I mean, everybody loves the new Bray Wyatt character. The mask is incredible. When you were designing it, when you were putting it together, when it was all coming together, did you know you had something special, or was this just, you know, another mask that you created?
You know, man, it takes a village. Like, I can't just sit here and consciously take all the credit. You know, I mean, Kyle Scarborough with his awesome concept designs, and then, you know, just getting to, you know, I've been Tom Savini's right-hand man for about 7 years now, and just having Tom's influence, and then the people on our crew, and then having Bray's input, and, like, Nick Manfredini, the writer from WWE, you know, everybody kind of came together, put our heads together. You know, it was definitely a group effort. It really, you know, it was fun. It was great making it. And I'm like, man, this is weird. It was creepy. It really wasn't until we were on set and Bray put it on for the first time that I was like, get that fucking thing away from me. I don't, like, I was, like, legitimately terrified. You know, I'm like, dude, I work for a horror icon and that thing. I was like, I don't even want to be near him when he has that thing on. So I kind of knew then, but I was like, man, hopefully I think this is going to get over, and it did. So it's been great. So couldn't have done it without everybody.
That's awesome that you said that when he put it on, you couldn't be near him. So you were able to deal with the mask on its own, but when Bray put it on, he truly brought it to life, huh?
Oh, it was a whole different character, man. It's like, you know, I mean, you can make something, but it's not until someone brings it to life that you finally, it takes on a life of its own. You know, it's, again, it's like you can create the best makeup, best mask, whatever in the world. You put it on someone who can't act, you kind of just wasted your time. You know, that's, you know, the Michael Myers mask is so creepy because, one, it's, you know, it's so subtle, but also, you know, in the original movie, Nick Castle did such a good job of, like, these subtle movements and, you know, these little minor things that you don't even realize that brought it to life, and that's what makes it so damn terrifying.
You know, Jason, knowing that you were going to be involved in this project, did you have any expectations going in? Because I believe you have done some things with the WWE in the past, so did you have any expectations going in?
No, man, just don't want to piss off the heads, you know? Just make sure I do a good enough job to hopefully they'll call us again. You know, I always want to put out my best work, try to give, you know, give the client something more than what they asked for. And, you know, I think we did that with this one. So, you know, again, with the, you know, all the knowledge that Tom Savini has gained over the years, he's passed it on to me, and I couldn't be more grateful to, you know, have a guy like that take me under his wing and just kind of show me what's what. And, but yeah, no, man, it's been a blast. It's been a snowball effect. You know, Bray's not the first thing we've got to do for the WWE. We've done Triple H just crowned for a few of the WrestleManias. We did all of Eric Rowan's masks. We did one for Kalisto, Luke Harper's WrestleMania mask last year. So, you know, it's just been this great continuing collaboration with the WWE, and it's always fun to add us to, you know, venture out into different brands. You know, like when I moved to Pittsburgh and came to Tom Savini school, if you would have told me that professional wrestling was going to be my bread and butter, I wouldn't have believed you. So,
Jason,
see how life works out that way.
Two part question here: are you a wrestling fan?
Yes and no. I was when I was a kid. You know, child of the 80s, totally grew up on the golden era, the Hulk Hogan's, Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake Roberts, and guys. Kind of tuned out, you know, when I hit puberty, found out about girls and all that
other boy.
Stuff. Yeah.
Attaboy.
You know. And, you know, and then once I started working for Tom, we started doing stuff. I kind of had to, you know, I don't want to say forced, but, you know, I got back into it. And, you know, I now have a new love and appreciation and getting to know a lot of the wrestlers on a personal level. You know, newfound respect, definitely newfound respect on what you guys go through. Just, you know, and it's not just the in-ring stuff, man. It's the travel. It's the, you know, it's the constant on, you know, and like you never, like I've never seen one of the guys just get to be themselves. You know, anytime we go out and eat with them, there's somebody there wanting to get a photograph or an autograph, or, you know, anytime we go anywhere, someone wants to meet them. So it's, you know, it's a 24/7 job. And I don't think a lot of people understand that or give them the respect that they deserve in that nature. So,
okay. Do you think that this new incarnation of Bray Wyatt has legs? Do you think this can work for a long time?
I sure hope so, man. I think if it's done right, you know, I think it can definitely be something interesting. You know, I think one of the things that, not to sit here and, like, toot my own horn, but I think one of the things that really helped get the Firefly Funhouse over was that, you know, we come from a film background. So when we were approached to shoot it, direct it, and everything, we treated it like a film. It was a little, you know, and I'm like, as you know, backstage vignettes are, you know, they're kind of a run and gun type situation to where they don't get as much, you know, you can only do so much at a live show, and, you know, you got to get it on the air at a certain time, yada, yada, yada. You know, when you're shooting in the soundstage and you get the luxury of taking your time, multiple takes, yada, 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 you get to really sit back and build a refined product. So I think that was one of the things I think that really helped just push the Firefly Funhouse segments kind of above and beyond other things that are going on right now.
Jason, when you moved out to Pittsburgh to work with Tom Savini, was the first thing you did go to the Monroeville Mall?
You know what? It took me like a year and a half to get to the
Monroeville
Mall.
I would have done that the first day.
I didn't have a car, man. I kind of sold all my shit to come here to go to school. Student loans are ridiculous. So, you know, it was have a car or have an education. So I went with the education.
Does it look anything like it did in 1979?
No, they've gutted the shit out of it. It's very, there's small chunks here and there. The great thing is the mall actually celebrates it. They have Living Dead Weekend there every year where they actually have like people who are zombies in the movie, like come and they do like a little Comic-Con inside the mall. They just put up a George Romero statue. So the mall is huge supporters of the film. So that's really cool.
Jason, how much input did Bray have with this entire process?
Oh, he's the brainchild, man. Like, again, like I consciously can't sit here and be like, man, I did everything. No, it was a group effort. You know, he was, you know, we'd be up 3-4 in the morning. I'd wake up and go to sleep from text messages from him.
Wow.
You know, just spitballing ideas back and forth with each other on things. And, you know, between him and Nick and Tom and everybody else, you know, we just kind of all brought our little two cents to everything. And, you know, and I think that's why it was a success, is that it wasn't just one person. It was a group effort. You know, it's either everybody goes home empty-handed or everybody gets a Super Bowl ring, you know, type situation. So, so it was definitely a fun collaboration, but he was the brainchild of, you know, at the center of all of it was his baby. So getting the chance to help him bring his ideas and his visions to life was a true honor.
Go ahead, Dave.
Is there any other plans in the future that you have in store with Bray Wyatt's character?
You're just going to have to watch and find out, man.
Son of a bitch. I thought I might get him. See, that's why I kind of eased the Monroeville Mall question in to kind of butter him up. And then I asked that and get the answer. But he's too quick for me, bully.
He's smart. Let me ask you this, Jason. So obviously you said Bray was very hands-on. Nick, one of the creative guys over there, who I like very much, very hands-on. Do you know if Vince was involved in this at all?
He was. There was a few, you know, when we were working on the vignettes, there was a few things where we would, you know, get notes back, or, you know, Nick would kindly mention something that, you know, Vince wanted this, or, you know. You know, a prime example is we were talking about when the first vignette, when he takes the chainsaw to the cardboard cutout. It was one of the, you know, we had the cardboard cutout idea and everything, and we were pitching it, and we're like, oh, maybe you should, like, do throwing axes or something. And the next thing I know is I get a note, and Vince is like, throwing axes aren't enough. We need a chainsaw. And I'm like, all right, fuck yeah, let's do it. So,
damn it. You know, get me a chainsaw.
You know, and I'm like, so, you know, Vince, you know, I'm like, you don't survive in an industry for as long as you have without being inventive. You know, the guy, you know, he's still got it. And so... yeah, it was cool. I was like, wait, Vince McMahon's making notes on this thing? That's crazy.
He's hands-on, man.
Yeah. No, I think that's what you got to do. You know, you don't get to where he's at in life without putting in the effort.
Was there any restrictions? Like, were you doing something where maybe they said, hey, you got to pull back? Because this is very unlike anything we're seeing in the WWE right now. It's completely different, actually, than anything we're seeing in the WWE. Was there ever any restrictions on what you could or could not do?
You know, again, work with Tom from the background. You know, we try to always, our instant go-to safe space is blood, guts, gore, horror. And I'm like, you know, maybe we can't murder somebody in the first one, or, you know, this, that, so let's reel it back. But you know, I mean, that's been the fun of it. That's been the challenge, is trying to see, you know, what you can get away with within the confines of the, you know, the PG rating. And I'm like, you know, I think you can be terrifying, you can be scary without, you know, having to show the audience. You know, if you watch Psycho, most terrifying scene ever created is that shower scene, and you never see an actual, like, puncture wound with the knife. It's just quick cuts and everything. You know, the old classic monster movies, you know, when Frankenstein killed Igor, all you heard was a scream off stage, and that was more terrifying than watching someone actually, you know, mm-hmm. take a chainsaw to the face. So, you know, I think that's been the fun part of the challenge, is trying to come up with fun and inventive ways to scare the audience without having to rely on, you know, gore and excessive violence and things of that nature.
It's almost like we didn't get to see Ramblin' Rabbit get destroyed by Mercy. It was implied. We didn't have to actually see it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that makes it even better, is the aftermath. It's like you kind of fill those pieces in your head. You know, that you're like, man, this thing, you know, because I'm sure everybody's seen a Discovery Channel video and seen how vultures and tigers and everybody eat. So, you know, you kind of, when Bray pulls out the carcass, you're like, man, that guy went to town on that thing.
Jason, you said you're a wrestling fan. Obviously, you're a very creative guy. If you were sitting in on the creative team and Vince McMahon looked at you and said, Jason, what are we doing with Bray Wyatt? What would you do with him right now?
Oh man, that's questions for people who have more insight than me, man. Again, I come from
No. I'm not asking for your insight. I'm asking for the fan in you. I'm asking for the creative guy in you. Would you have him scare the life out of everybody in the company, or would you have him wrestling next week?
Oh no, I think me personally, I'm like, I think, you know, horror movies, you know, like a good classic horror movie always works because there's a buildup, that buildup to suspense, you know, like, I mean, you see, you know, again, back to Halloween, you know, like what makes Michael Myers so scary is you see him in the background for 3 seconds, you know, he's in the house, but you don't see him running up and murdering somebody. So, you know, he's there, but you never know when he's going to attack. To me, that's always more terrifying than someone just coming straight out of the gate, running at you, you know, and doing something and then having it over and done with. It's the suspense buildup to me always, I think, is so much better than just the quick kill and then the, you know, no payoff later.
Well, Jason, man, the one thing I can say is both Bully and I and our fans are really looking forward to see what's next. What are we going to see next week? And for us to come on and say for a 3-hour Monday Night Raw that, you know, this is the most creative thing we're seeing right now, that's a huge compliment for you. And as a fan, I appreciate what you're doing. And thanks so much for the time today.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care, Jason.
All right, Jason Baker, man, the Creature Maker, the director of Firefly Funhouse. Pretty good stuff from Jason, man. Again, not a huge wrestling fan, but, you know, a creative guy, and I love what he's doing right now with these segments. And it sounds like from your last question, Bully, a lot of what you said on our show yesterday, how you would like to see Bray Wyatt presented in the future.
Absolutely. I do not want to see Bray wrestle a match until it's absolutely necessary to see him. I want a huge build up to that first match, and it has to be with the right person. And much like, you know, yesterday I compared him to, you know, to Jason or Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger. Terrorize everybody. Nobody is safe in the WWE. Everybody should be scared of Bray Wyatt. Everybody should be a victim. And when you build it up like that, and just like Jason was saying, you know, the best horror movies build up, you know, to that ending, so does wrestling. It's all about the build. It's all about the finish. I would build all the way to SummerSlam.
Why not?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why not? Have him show up in the arenas or, at, you know, Titan Towers or wherever, you know, dragging people out of their cars and people randomly disappearing and anything and everything that has worked in horror movies, bring it into the world of WWE, apply it to Bray Wyatt. We don't need to see blood and guts and everything. We need to be held in suspense. And then we get that first match against, I don't know, whoever.
Yeah, we don't need to know that until, like you said, maybe even until August when we get to SummerSlam.
And Dave, I do not want to see Bray Wyatt wrestle on TV. I'll go as far as that. I want him to stay so special that you have to pay to see him. He only wrestles on pay-per-views. TV is just to drive the character.
TV is Firefly Funhouse, and to see the matches, you have to go either pay a ticket to go to the arena or watch it on the WWE Network for a pay-per-view. Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Probably the biggest news in pro wrestling in the last 20 years.
Thoroughly agree. Congratulations, AEW, TNT, Cody, the Bucks, Kenny, Paige, Jericho, all the guys there, the entire crew. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And wrestling needed it. It's time. It's time for something new. It's time for a breath of fresh air. Whether or not it's going to be competition, I joked about it at the beginning of the show. Direct competition? No. Will the fans make it competition? Yes, because they'll be comparing the products that they see on Mondays and Fridays to the product that AEW gives us. And we're not sure what kind of television product that AEW is going to give us. That's why we all need to tune in and make the decisions for ourselves.
And somebody who has a steep tradition in history in pro wrestling, has covered pro wrestling for decades, has covered the NFL for decades. You can hear him on Sirius XM NFL radio, and you can also hear him as a part of AEW's broadcast team. And he's probably one of my favorite, and I'm not lying when I say this. I mean, he's one of my favorite people and somebody that is just outstanding at everything he does, and that is the great Alex Marvez joins us. And Alex, how are you, man?
Hey, gentlemen, with that tight, listen, you're my new agent, by the way. Thank you so much. You know, as we revel in the deal with Turner, you are now going to be representing me. So congratulations. You are now the person who is handling that responsibility for me. And I am outside my gym here in Gainesville, Florida, continuing my full gear challenge to get ready for May 25th, double or nothing. But in between running around this morning and doing some errands, your show is so fascinating. First of all, I do have to, before I forget this, after listening to last week with you and Tommy, Dave, you know, now we need to book this Dances with Dudley versus Super Callow match in the Where Have They Gone match, okay? Because I almost had to pull over. I was laughing so hard at the anecdotes about Super Callow. I know that Bully hasn't been able to sleep ever since, you know, I reminded him about Dances with Dudley more than 18 months ago. And my obsession with finding where this man is. So now, really, we are fast-tracking a dream match of sorts. Maybe I can try to get it booked in AEW. I don't know. I also have a certain amount of sympathy that built today, listening to your callers call in with their thoughts on the AEW TV deal, that the worst job in the world to have, really, the single worst job to have is to be one of these samplers for WWE when they get together those groups of people, like 8 or 9 fans, and they try to figure out, well, what do you like about our programming and what do you don't? You know, we had Bill from Boston call in, and he talked about how he's bored with Chris Jericho. There is nobody in our industry better at reinventing themselves on a regular basis than Chris Jericho. He has done this for more than 2 decades. To get bored with a man who comes up with something fresh every time he reappears on the scene, listen, it's his opinion, but you just sort of scratch your head. And then we had another caller a little bit later on talking about Sami Zayn, and, you know, he clicked the channel, he turned his TV off, he'd finally seen enough, and this man has no talent. If you're at WWE, and you hear those types of things when you're trying to run one of these things where you ask the fans, what do you want to see more of? It almost reminds me of that Simpsons episode where they were trying to ask little kids, what is it that they want in a doll? And the kids came up with every different, you know, thing that they could come up with, you know, to try to create something that simply doesn't exist. So, I mean, it's so interesting, today's wrestling fans, but the hope in AEW is to not only attract some of today's wrestling fans, but also bring back those millions and millions of fans who have stopped watching the product, give them something different on a major cable outlet. We now have that ability at AEW.
Wow. I mean, you know, Alex.
Alex, do you take a breath in between sentences?
well, you know, I gotta make room for JR. You know what I'm saying? that's how it is. So I'm practicing getting this out now before Jim F and Ross takes the mic again at Double or Nothing. So, you know, less will be more for me on the broadcast. But I'm so excited to be with you guys. What an incredible moment. And to know, listen, how hard Tony Khan has worked behind the scenes trying to put all this together. I mean, it has been a labor of love for him. And really, that's what this company is. Look, we all want to make money, and I understand that. But for Tony, I mean, who's the most diehard wrestling fan that I know and is just so in love with the product and wants to put on something that fans like, for him to be able to see his dream move one step closer to fruition through this television deal, it just makes me so happy for him. And guys who have been working behind the scenes, I mean, these people really, Cody, the Bucks, I mean, they are living, breathing, Brandy. I mean, this is like 24 hours a day. We all keep different sleep schedules. I get texts from Cody in the middle of the night, right? Then I'll wake up at 5 a.m. because that's when my day starts, and I'm sitting there practicing calling, you know, Kip Sabian matches and all this, and I'm responding to Cody at that time. Someone who seems to be on the clock 24 hours a day getting ready for Double or Nothing and beyond.
You know, one thing that excited me, and obviously I was really excited, and I love that, and thank you, Alex, and thank everyone that this news broke just before our show started, because usually news breaks after our show is already over. But, you know, as an old school pro wrestling fan like I am, it just excites me that pro wrestling is going to be back on Turner Broadcasting. Like, they actually sent out a tweet that they're back in the pro wrestling business, and there's such a deep, rich tradition when it comes to Georgia Championship Wrestling and Mid-South being on TBS, and obviously everything with WCW and Nitro. I mean, it just feels good that, you know, they actually are back in the wrestling business again.
Yeah, well, they consider it important again. You know, and listen, I give so much credit to Vince McMahon in this regard. He has helped change the perception of pro wrestling in so many ways. You know, remember the wrestling struggled to get high class advertisers for such a long period of time. And Vince McMahon, that's one of the reasons he doesn't want it called pro wrestling. He wants it to be sports entertainment. Why it's not World Wrestling Entertainment anymore. It's WWE. And for him, he tries to take the wrestling part out of it because of money. That's really what it comes down to. Look, if Vince McMahon could make zillions of dollars calling it pro wrestling, you know, in his mind, he wouldn't have a problem with it. That's what Vince is all about, is making money. So I understand where he's at, but I think that it's – when you think about why did WCW get canceled in the first place? Well, there were a lot of headaches behind the scenes. The company was starting to lose a lot of money, but it was very difficult to sell pro wrestling to mainstream advertisers. It just didn't have mainstream appeal to it. It was a niche product. I believe now pro wrestling is mainstream. I really, even though the Raw numbers are down, the SmackDown numbers are down, we have a generation of people growing up who basically know who all the WWE folks are. They're going to buy WrestleMania every year. And I'm so glad Turner took the plunge. Oh, and by the way, this isn't your daddy's Turner. You're talking about an agreement with Bleacher Report for so many things online and the streaming that we can do. And again, you know, still in the infancy stages of what's going to be announced. And really, you know, now that the deal is official, I'm not even sure if we've met with Bleacher Report yet to see how this is going to go, but you're talking about another component to continue to enhance the brand, continue to enhance the product. You know, it's great to be on cable, don't get me wrong, and this is going to be amazing, but this is the icing on the cake, is being able to work with Bleacher Report, the preeminent sports streaming service online.
Alex, we know that All In was a great show. We'd be willing to bet a dollar that Double or Nothing is going to be a great show. This first television show that's basically around the corner, you know, November is going to be here before you know it. What do you think is the number one thing that we're going to see on the very first AEW television show that's make us going to go, wow, this is really different?
Different? I don't know, because it depends what it's different to, right? I mean, and this is a great question, because you talk about the fan base, right? The group that listens to Busted Open, pretty hardcore wrestling fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have an opportunity to open the door for people who, you know, based upon the advertising that we're going to have through Turner, through Bleacher Report, are we going to have people that are tuning back into wrestling that haven't watched the product in 2 years, 4 years, 10 years, 15 years? I'm just throwing that out there. And they're going to see something in the ring that they haven't seen, something that's completely different from the pro wrestling that they watched and once fell in love with. I mean, I think the storylines, of course, have to make sense. But that also has to go hand in hand with an incredible in-ring product. And I think that's where, when you look at the talent roster that has been assembled here, I mean, these guys can go, brother. And I think that's the thing that you're going to see. Now, look, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. There's some people that are simply, and I thought, again, the Bill in Boston call, like you said, Bully, was such a great call, because it was a guy with raw emotion who just said, look, I don't have enough time in the day to watch all this pro wrestling. Somehow he found time to call your station and listen, by the way, but he doesn't have time to watch all this different wrestling, okay? And that's fine. It's not going to be for everybody necessarily. We're not going to have, you know, to my knowledge, at least as of right now, the talent roster can change. How many jumbo heavyweights are we going to have? You know, how many guys are we going to have, the monsters of sorts, the Braun Strowmans of the world? I mean, these types of things. I can't answer that. I'm not sure if it's going to be for everybody, but I think what you're going to see is a high-quality product. And there's a line, and Dave, you mentioned it earlier on in here on Busted Open, about the sporting, athletic aspect of all this. I mean, for Tony Khan, it really means something to him, the wins and loss aspect of this. I mean, this is something, and he said it in a recent interview for ITV, our partners over in the UK. I mean, we want wins and losses to mean something. So that, look, you know, we don't just forget about it 3-4 weeks later and oh, la, la, la. No, we want it to be where if a guy wins a match or a gal wins a match, then that's going to help propel them toward getting a championship, toward moving them up on the show, and try to have some rhyme to the reason, or reason to the rhyme, so to speak. So that's where I think one of the big things about All Elite will be as well. Oh, and lots of pyro. Gotta have lots of pyro. There's no question. Without pyro, forget it. You can't have a wrestling show. I mean, it's just how it is.
Well, I think we all seen that the WWE is kind of falling off since they stopped the pyro. You absolutely need some pyro.
You do. And listen, we may need to hire Destro away from PCO for the electrical charge. I mean, I'm thinking there could be a huge bidding war for that. By the way, on a separate note, are those things the greatest thing about Monday nights to me? And I'm not a WWE person. I don't watch their product. But I do get excited on Monday nights for wrestling simply because of Destro and PCO putting out one of those vignettes. I love them so much. And I just think it's fun. And it does harken back to 1980s WWE in a way with the goofiness of what's going on. I mean, these guys never cease to amaze me. I think that is one of the great acts to really splash on the scene in a big way in 2019.
Well, I think the best thing we saw on Monday night, Alex, and you know, and this isn't a shot on the WWE, but the two best things that I saw was PCO and Tom McGee. Those are the two best things that I saw on Monday night.
I don't understand the obsession with Tom McGee. This has taken on such a life of its own, and I get it. And I don't know if Tom, look, he had the look, and I know that it's a fascination because it was the match that was lost and how Bret Hart can carry an opponent and, you know, how they were looking at the future WWE champion. They were looking at the wrong guy. It is fascinating, and I know it's coming up at StarCast, you know, Bret Hart and Tom McGee are going to both walk through that match, you know, at StarCast 2 in Las Vegas. So I'm excited to see their perspective on this, but it is fascinating. But see, that's the thing too, though. What does it harken back to? It harkens back to when wrestling was fun, in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And I hope that's something that can come across, you know, with All Elite. I mean, look, we're going to have a serious athletic product in that way, but I hope there are some segments. I hope there are some characters that, you know, make people smile and laugh, because there are some people who view professional wrestling like that. I'll be honest with you. I love Toru Yano. You know, I'm a huge New Japan guy. I could watch this guy, you know, tape his opponent up, you know, go ahead and dissemble the turnbuckle. I love Colt Cabana style stuff when he's goofing around. Some of that stuff, it's a nice change of pace, and I think it's fun. And sometimes with wrestling, and I'm not saying it's difficult, because there's that between hackneyed humor and something that's wink, wink, nod, nod, really, really amusing. PCO, to me, really amusing, because the vignettes are great, but then the guy can go in the ring. And I think, I'm hoping that's what AEW has as well. Some guys that you can have some fun with and get into their characters and the goofiness of it, but also appreciate the skills that they bring into the squared circle.
Alex, a little earlier on, you mentioned jumbo heavyweights. When we get offline, if you need Dreamer's number, I'll be more than happy to give it to you.
What's the guy's name? Chris Taylor from the early 1970s.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Taylor.
400 pound category. Yeah, yeah. The dreamer shot. He's an easy target. Are you weighing less than him now?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. Really? And if that's not, and if it's not true, at least the perception is.
I like that. I like, you know what, though? Like, if you were, you could actually wear the chain that you have around your neck, and you could use that for extra poundage. If you really.
And you know what, Alex, go buy a giant candle, light it, and let it melt for about 7 hours, and you got Tommy Dreamer. All right, so getting back to the serious stuff for a second. You and JR, and I believe that you, a third member of your announce team, got together recently and went through some, I guess, practice sessions or whatever. What was that like for you?
In Excalibur. Well, I mean, you get to work with Jim Essen-Ross, right? And look, I've known Jim since I was 18-year-old Alex down at the Miami International Marriott. And I was writing for the Miami Herald, and Jim was gracious enough to meet me. And I was pitching all sorts of crazy storylines, and Jim's sitting there sipping on a beer, getting a suntan at the pool. Yeah, kid, yeah, kid, yeah, kid. But he was nice enough to at least do it, right? And here I am about 30 years later, you know, working alongside Jim Ross. And look, and it's funny because it wasn't like, how do I put it? It wasn't like, oh, well, we have to practice calling a match. Jim Ross has called we would have to say at least 10,000 matches, right? I mean, I feel like I'm exaggerating, the man of 1,000 masks, no mask at us, but I don't know if he has literally 1,000 masks. But, I mean, Jim Ross has called thousands of matches, right? So he doesn't need practice calling the match. But what we did need to get down, Jim, Excalibur, and Excalibur is just brilliant on play-by-play. We know that the niche that he's carved for himself in New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. The guy knows the moves. He knows the folks who are involved. He knows the storylines. He's fantastic. The big thing is, when you're working in a three-man booth, it's so different than a two-man booth. And it's not just because there's an extra person, but it's also a synergy that's involved. Feeling comfortable, knowing when to let a match breathe, knowing how to be quick in and out of your talking points. You know, you're not going to have a chance to spiel for 45 seconds during a match. This isn't that's not the time. You got to, you know, get ready for pinfall attempt. Maybe a match can end abruptly. You've got to be ready to call that. You need to get your points across well, and you need to do it without trampling over your partner. And I think that was the big thing that we wanted to get done. You know, Jim has known me, but he's never heard what I bring to a match as an analyst. You know, he knows who Excalibur is, but he hasn't heard Excalibur call a match the way that he has. So really, that was the big thing. Getting together for our summit in Atlanta was to get to know you. I'd say we did about 6 to 8 hours of announcing in total over 2 days. But as much as anything, I think there was just a comfort level of knowing what our roles are heading into Double or Nothing to make sure it's easy on the ears. Because look, we could have a great wrestling product in the ring, but if the announcing is drizzling, you know what? Then it's going to be something that's remembered. And the last thing that I want to do is take away from the performance of those in the ring, because those are the guys who are truly earning it. And I just want to be able to tell their stories and get across some facts about them that maybe some folks don't know, some things to enhance where they're going with their careers, with their feuds, with their matches.
You know, Alex, and by the way, you're used to working with Hall of Famers, now Jim Ross, and you work with Gil Brandt on NFL radio as well. What is this like for you being a broadcaster? You know, somebody that's covered the sport, somebody that's been a fan for a long time, you know, growing up watching Gordon Solie. I mean, you know, honestly, at some point you got to kind of take a step back and just a fan of you appreciate what's going to be happening with AEW. I mean, that's got to be exciting for you, Alex.
It is. It really is exciting. It's funny you mentioned Gordon Solie, because I love the conversation that you had with Bully a little bit earlier on. You were a huge Gordon Solie fan, and Bully wasn't, because it's not what he grew up with. And I think that's what's going to be so interesting, too, about, you know, people who watch, you know, AEW and how they're going to compare the announcing to others. I think the announcing has never been better in pro wrestling for so many. Ian Riccaboni is just unbelievable. Kevin Kelly is just fantastic. But there's certain styles of guys that you like. And it's funny, because when you listen to Jim Ross, it's the same thing like when I grew up, you know, listening to Gordon Solie as 6-year-old Alex, and, you know, as he got older and I got older and listened to him on Turner, you know, for WCW, you know, it's just like an old friend. You know, it's almost like that when you heard Lance Russell's voice, or guys who've been around for a long time. It takes you back maybe to just a subconscious thing, to a great time in your life, to a time that, you know, pro wrestling meant so much to you and so many memories. And it sort of seeps into your conscious. And I think that's what it is with, you know, Jim Ross. And I think that's what's so awesome about it. And I try not to get overwhelmed. I try not to get carried away. Look, the moment, thankfully, I've done TV work before. You know, I broadcast every night without a net on Sirius XM NFL radio. So I'm not worried about that. What I've allowed myself to do is you're right, enjoy this ride. And so much of it, too, is that I'm no longer writing about the industry. I'm not involved as a media person, you know, offering critiques, writing columns. I'm able to, after taking a break from pro wrestling and getting reinterested and reinvigorated, thanks to Tony Khan, saying, hey, you know what? You really ought to check out this New Japan stuff on Access. I think you may like it. And then starting to get back into it like that, and then going back into Ring of Honor. And now, you know, just so much is available online that I check out and continue to expand my horizons. I've allowed myself to enjoy it. You know, there are announcements. I didn't know we're announcing the referees last night. I didn't know we have Earl Hebner as part of our crew. You know, I didn't know we have Girl Hebner as part of our crew. You know, I mean, the some stuff that appears, honestly, like I know now, oh, wow, I better prepare for Chucky T and Beretta, you know, squaring off against Angelico and Jack Evans coming up a Double or Nothing. You know, I didn't know that was going on, but it's nice. It's like fun to have surprises like this. It's fun to be able to be a true fan again, rather than how I spent the bulk of my life from when I first got my initial Wrestling Observer, March 2nd, 1987, all the way up till I stopped writing my last column in 2011. And just like a lot of wrestling fans are today, being so overly critical. And like you guys mentioned last week, hate watching Monday Night Raw. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that was such a great point that both of you made. Like, are you just tuning in so you can just go online socially and shred people and rip people and get no, you know, no enjoyment from this product, no yield? What? Do something else. Go ride your bike. You know, go work. You know what I'm saying? Go find something else that you like rather than be miserable. I realize there are some people who are just going to be perpetually unhappy in this world, but why not go along for the ride? And you know what? If the ride is taking you to someplace you don't want to go, you have a remote control. You can turn it off. And if you love pro wrestling, there's so many other options there for you. Let them take you on a ride. That's what we're hoping AEW does as well. For fans who have tuned out, tune in. Maybe you'll like where we're taking you.
Alex, earlier in the conversation, we were talking about competition. If AEW winds up being competition for anybody in the wrestling business, will it be WWE or will it be the rest of the wrestling industry?
I think it's got to be the rest of the wrestling industry to start. And I do wonder, you know, when we look at New Japan and their situation right now, and you know, you look at Dave Meltzer's tweet and, you know, how the ticket sales in Dallas for their upcoming G1 show are really sort of stagnant, and maybe a little bit of the buzz off of their product because they got, you know, they lost a lot of their top folks to All Elite Wrestling, even though, you know, Chris Jericho's coming back. Who knows if maybe Kenny Omega, who I think has the right, and I don't know, but I think has the right to go back and do some stuff with New Japan. Maybe that'll reinvigorate things. But I think that what it does, though, too, and Bully, you mentioned it earlier, you know, is this the kick in the tail to Sinclair to say, hey, you know what, we need to start prioritizing wrestling a little bit more than what we're doing right now. And look at trying to get a cable deal for our guys to try to continue to promote things. Because at some point you wonder, is there going to be an oversaturation in pro wrestling? We've never really had this. Even back in the days, look, when I would watch wrestling in the mid-1980s, 14-year-old Alex, watching, you know, WC, you know, World Class Championship Wrestling, watching all of the Crockett, watching all of the WWF, watching Championship Wrestling from Florida. You know, and then tape trading. Oh, and Mid-South, by the way, that was on cable as well. And then tape trading to get different things, you know, a little bit later on. And I'm watching everything. Well, now everyone can do that. So at some point, do you just get bloated on wrestling? You know, but the other nice part about this is, and you could tell by more than 335,000 subscribers on Being the Elite, you know, the sales for StarCast, what All In did last year, there is a built-in audience that Cody, the Young Bucks, Brandy, they've been able to build up during their time. There's an equity to them. There's a connection with the fans. And I really believe, since it is sincere, it's going to continue to grow. I want to say, by the way, thank you to Chris Jericho, because he'll punch me in the face otherwise. And also, though, he has really helped open some doors as well. When people ask me initially, well, what is AEW? What's that hat you're wearing? Right? And I say, beside free swag, I say that, no, it's his new wrestling company that you know, we got started. And the first name I usually mention, because I realize he has mainstream appeal, is Chris Jericho. So we're hoping, look, that Chris Jericho, he's a guy that really, I think, helps us in so many different ways because of his name value, because he's such a great performer. And I think that's someone who's going to draw eyeballs to television sets or streaming. But I just think that it does provide, you know, the other thing that it does, too, it provides some challenges for other companies, non-WWE, to keep their talent. And does that mean bigger paychecks? You know, I hope it does for everybody. You know, and then if folks leave us, well, then that creates opportunities for others. For example, in Ring of Honor, we see guys now getting pushed, you know, that weren't necessarily maybe going to get that chance unless some folks moved on. So what you love to see is upward mobility. And then we have another generation of wrestlers who are going to be coming up who are going to be trying to get their chance when they have to fill spots left behind by others who got to go to WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, etc. That's what's so great about the wrestling business right now. There are more opportunities for more wrestlers than ever before, and there are so many different type of wrestlers, so many folks who bring different things to the product. I mean, it is really the glory days of professional wrestling.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because Matt Riddle sent out a tweet earlier this morning, and it says, "The face you make when you know the greatest era of wrestling is about to begin because of great competition. Thank you." So when you hear that from a Matt Riddle, who's a part of NXT, part of WWE, do you think Vince McMahon at all is worried about what's going on now with AEW?
I think he's cognizant of it. I mean, when you say worry, look, there's different levels of worry, mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, that's the whole thing. We've yet to have a show, okay? So I don't want to start trying to get into the business aspect of this with it is a multi-billion dollar company with worldwide reach, you know, with revenue streams from everywhere that's launching on Fox, a primetime show, you know, I mean, which is huge for them. Oh, and Vince, by the way, he's a little preoccupied with his new football league as well. I mean, so I get it when it comes to Vince. I think he's worried first and foremost about his own product. I think he's, you know, and you're not going to make everyone happy in your locker room, especially when you have about 72 zillion wrestlers that are there. But, you know, when you hear Triple H make a comment, you know, during the Hall of Fame induction ceremony that took place before WrestleMania, it's on their radar for sure. And I think they're anxious to see what happens. Now, are they going to borrow from AEW, if we have some innovations, are you going to ultimately see those things pop up in WWE, you know, whether it's not packed, it might be just repackaged in a different way. That's something I think that's fascinating to watch. I mean, listen, Vince, back in the old days, okay, the 1980s, he'd watch a WCW pay-per-view. It was back at more like NWA Crockett times, and he'd have Pat Patterson at his house and some others, and Vince would lift weights while watching the shows, you know? So he would pay attention to some of it, but remember, too, he doesn't know who a lot of folks are. Like, he really doesn't. Like, he doesn't sit there and watch pro wrestling all the time. You know, I think he'd rather just watch that printing press churn out money at Titan Towers than anything else. He's spread a little bit thin. And, you know, he's got his own vision of what he wants a pro wrestler to be. He's open to different things. And then Bully can speak to this better than me. But I don't think he's exactly sweating this right now. I think as much as anything, it is, you know, probably a headache because you may have to pay more to keep some talent. You got people who may want out of their contracts to try to pursue things, you know, and not necessarily with AEW. I mean, there's a burgeoning independent scene. There's a burgeoning worldwide scene where performers can now make a living, you know, being pro wrestlers, not having to work for WWE that wasn't there before, you know? So I think it's a different time, but before we start talking AEW, WWE in the same sentence, I think we got to start crawling first and having some shows before we can even get to our feet.
Alex, I just got one more question for you because I want to get your take on this. Tip of the iceberg, AEW is great for the wrestling industry. It's going to be big business. Great to see you guys on TNT. But on a personal level, I'm calling this Revenge of the Polka Dots. What do you think?
Are you talking Cody?
Yeah. I personally think that, you know, that you know, Cody has this drive in him to avenge what was done to his father back in the day.
If that's more motivation for him, more power to him. And, you know, it's a question that you can ask him. I mean, I think, you know, the amazing part is that to his credit, Cody has found himself as a performer. This is a true story, Bully. So I'm doing all my research, you know, background stuff, trying to gather material, coming up for Double or Nothing, right? And I had never seen a Stardust vignette. I'd never seen it, you know? And I watched this thing, and I'm like, this is horrible, you know? And he was, like, building up to a match against Stephen Amell or something back in, you know, 4 years ago. I'm like, this is just lousy. And I think that leaving WWE allowed him to find something that he's much better at, you know, as far as a character and development. But look, if motivation about the way that his dad was treated there, and remember, Vince McMahon paid, you know, Dusty Rhodes a good amount of money, and he did trust him to train his talent. So I don't know if it's a love-hate relationship, that type of thing that Cody has with him. But you know what? I mean, and it's funny because now Vince a little reticent to let some of the talent out of their contract. Well, Cody was let out of his contract, and look where we are a couple years later as an executive vice president. But I will tell you this. It was Tony Khan who, you know, was fascinated with Tony as well, or with Cody as well. I mean, so it wasn't like Cody was coming up to Tony saying, listen, I've got this great idea to run a wrestling company. I mean, there was mutual admiration between the two. Tony, he believes that in the past decade, the best tag team that he saw, okay, the best one, and no offense to the Dudleys, by the way, but he thinks the best one was Stardust and Goldust. He loved watching them as a team. He loved watching Dustin back in the day. So I think he was a Cody fan before all of this got started. But Revenge of the Polka Dots, that's what Tommy Dreamer did last year in the All In Battle Royal. That, by the way, you were sadly eliminated at the end. Maybe I shouldn't bring that up.
No, that's okay, because whoever booked that Battle Royal was a genius.
Must have been Devon.
Oh my God! Well, we know that's not true. TNT Air weekly matches later this year. Warner Media partners with All Elite Wrestling, and somebody who's a big part of AEW, friend of the show, Alex Marvez. Alex, thank you so much for the time today. We really appreciate it.
What a blast, guys. Keep kicking tail and taking names, man. Your show is unbelievable. Always puts a smile on my face. Incredible insight. If you are a pro wrestling fan, a must listen on Busted Open. Don't do yourself a disservice. Listen every day.
Love it. Alex, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.